Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. I want to welcome you to Vibrant Living, and I want to say that Kai is going to, Kai Cole, my brilliant producer and co-host, I think she might be joining us spontaneously today, so I wanted to just acknowledge her. I want to say hello to Ariel Bonberg, who's with us today out of New York. He's my New York producer, New Jersey. He does a lot of stuff, like undercover stuff. He's just overall pretty amazing. He's also a homeopath as well. He helps people heal themselves by taking a little bit of that poison. It's sort of an energy. It's an energy medicine. It's a frequency medicine. It was developed by a pharmacist, medical doctor, Samuel Hahnemann. And Janet, I don't even know what to say about you other than I'm so, so happy, and I feel such a bond with you. I'm happy you're here today. The practice of now seems like a very good thing. I realized I learned the practice of, what did I learn when I was in school? I was just joking about someone being in school, because I think how I developed Vibrant Travel, which I wanted to get into today, was I felt there was a different way to kind of participate and access things than what was around me. So I read this quote by Mark Twain, and he said that, true success was turning your vocation into your vacation. And as early as I was a teenager, I realized that I enjoyed meeting people that was sort of different, like when they would tell me about things that inspired them or moved them. And this idea of vacation became very close to my heart. And at a certain point, I don't know, when I was probably in my early 20s, I met a man who owned a resort center in the Hamptons in New York. And I was curious. I kept being curious with people who did things that helped people, better their lives, change the way they move, change their diet. And basically, I started designing these little workshops in the Hamptons. I did these weekends, and I brought people together. And they never really knew that was going to become more and more a way of life. And I also want to, Jan, I also want to introduce you again to and Ariel Bonberg, as we like to call you, to Olivia Libby, who owns a one-of-a-kind destination in the Northeast Kingdom up in Vermont. I asked, in the course of 7 minutes, Janet and Olivia, Janet and Bonberg, I asked Olivia to speak at our conference in Rhode Island on the Vibrant Living Summit, because in her story about the inn and having this one-of-a-kind sauna system based on Finnish principles, hot tubs, cold tubs, she told me that she was going to be a lawyer, but realized she wanted to be around people that were inspiring and opening, and it made sense to me. So, of course, I'm really glad we're all here today.
Hello.
Janet, I'm really happy you're here. Hi. Say something.
It's kind of like a vacation now. It's like a little, this wonderful pause from all the driving around and figuring things out, and I get to just to be delighted with you all and learn something new and take a little break from everything else. It's great. It's very exciting to be here. Hi, Ariel. Hi, Olivia.
Hello.
I also found out that Olivia has a really deep relationship with Newfoundlanders, the dog, the big furry dog. And there was a story that she was telling me that reminded me of my first story about a Newfie dog was about this trainer that was training Newfies. And she would she was by a dock on a lake, and she was saying she'd pretend to be drowning. The Newfie never moved. He never did anything. So she kind of gave up on him. I know.
Awesome.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, I know. Yeah, so she gave up on him. It's coming. It's coming.
Okay.
That was just the beginning. That was just the first graven image, like a darkened image. But we're gonna graduate from that. Yeah. All right.
Good. Thank you.
I'm glad you said that, though. So much. You know, I like to say that conclusions and the assumptions of the poisons of relationship.
Mm.
So yeah, she gave up on him, and so one day he was in his crate. I think he might have been locked in his crate, and she actually tripped, got knocked out, and he saved her within like, I think it was 10 seconds. He broke the crate, saved her. And she said that was her most powerful lesson about the Newfie, was that he was very smart. He was right there. He just didn't want to play pretend, you know? So,
Thank you.
I know. I wouldn't have left you with the, and I wouldn't want to leave people with the, you know, the downside of a false appearance. Kind of like,
morality is.
But it's more, I don't know, it's
don't play with dogs. Do play with dogs.
Do play with, yeah, you know, the dog world and the horse world, there's so many lessons, you know, there's so many, which it somewhat ties into Robin Travel, because Olivia was telling me she has a couple of Newfies, and which I love about Ints. I'm an advocate for Ints. I really love going to be with people, usually couples, that they have their inn based on a way of life, a way of inviting people into their abode, and I've met some really remarkable people around inn. So we're going to be doing a feature on Burlington and some of the restaurants and some of the farm-to-table restaurants, the things that make Burlington sort of one of a kind. When I was in Stowe, I got called a man who got paid to go on vacation. And what it was is I felt I could serve my clients much better when I was on vacation. I could tune into them, pay attention to them in a very different way. So probably, I don't know how many years, but I got very interested in rhythm and time. I got really interested in why people, what makes them discover a different rhythm that's replenishing and relational. And so I got very interested in time, and I also got interested in how people kind of develop a different sense of rhythm, and now a different sense of rhythm together, which led me into becoming a matchmaker. There were some other things around that. Because I always felt when I met certain people, like with Olivia, I just really spoke to Olivia in a few moments and felt immediately instant camaraderie with her. I felt her vision. And when she told me her lawyer story, that she was going to become a lawyer, because she wanted to be with people when they were coming to replenish and rejuvenate. I also thought she'd be a wonderful speaker, because I don't think, Maureen, are you on the call today? I don't even know. Are you on the call today, Maureen? Okay, she's not on the call. Maureen Carey, who owns the magazine in Rhode Island that we're partnering with to bring the Vibrant Living Summit, she was a banker for 10 years, and she realized one day she was ready to leave that world and has a magazine that helps people with natural well-being and rejuvenation, and we had this instant connection. So when I say instant, Olivia, what I said, does that resonate with you? Do you feel like you had a moment, an inspired moment that kind of changed your course of life?
Oh, absolutely. I had just recently gotten out of law school, and I was practicing. My dad's an attorney, and I was practicing in his firm. And they assigned me a family law case, and that was the first case where I realized morality and the law just do not necessarily always coincide. It was a really rough case, especially I was a young mother at the time. I was pregnant with our second child, and I think being a parent really changed me. It changed how I looked at things. And also what they teach you in law school, textbooks doesn't mm-hmm. teach you for what you deal with when you're there, seeing a person, looking at them in the eyes, seeing the pain, seeing what they're going through. And I really realized very quickly that this is something, despite spending years and countless studying hours on, you know, passing the bar exam and doing law school courses and, of course, the expense of going to law school, I realized this was not what I wanted to do with my life. And there was this property in the town that I live in. I live in a beautiful place called East Burke, Vermont. And I would drive by this property almost on a daily basis to go into the office. And it was really run down, a true fixer-upper, diamond in the rough. And it beckoned to me. And after a very sleepless night of just weighing a lot on my mind, I pulled over that morning on my morning to commute, started walking around, or I should say waddling around this property, because I was about 7.5 months pregnant. And I realized that this property just had so much potential. And I don't know, there's something about, I grew up, I was fortunate enough with coming from a family that really valued family and valued travel. So although I had never spent a day in my life working in the field of hospitality, it was always something that I thought I would enjoy doing because I like talking to people. I like hearing people's stories. I like seeing happy people. And I got walked around. And I thought to myself, my goodness, won't this make a beautiful, beautiful inn? But, that was a major, you know, how old was I? I was 31 years old at the time. And that was a major life decision, you know, going for one path, deciding to do another one. And I called my husband up at work, and he has a landscape company, and he has an excavator. And I said, Brad, do you think you could bring the excavator down to East Burke? There's a property there. I want to know if there's a rumor saying that it was perk test. You could never put a septic system into it. And I said, just curious, but I want to buy this property. Let's see if we can do this. He's like, all right, whatever, you know, I'll bring it down. We called our local engineer to tell us if the soil was good, and the soil was perfect. And I said, I want this. So I called the realtor up, and I said, I had been speaking back and forth there, got permission to do the hole in the ground. And I said, I'm interested in buying this. And she said, I'll tell you what, I want nothing to do with this. This property has been sitting on the market for years. Nobody wants to touch it with a 10-foot pole. I'm going to put you up with the young gentleman who owns the property. He inherited off of his family's estate. And so I called him up and introduced myself. And it was very odd because a person who worked in his firm, he worked in a financial firm in New York City, was somebody I had gone to law school with. And I said to him, is it possible we can make a deal here? And we did. And I bought the property hook, line, sinker 4 days later. Just dived right into it. And my mom and dad were on holiday at that time. They were in Europe. And this is a big deal for me. This was the first thing I've ever done on myself, I've ever bought on my own. And it came back, and I met them at their house, and I was very excited. I'm like, I have something to show you. Take a ride with me. And I went down to the inn, or what now is the inn, and get out of the car, and they're like, why are we here? And I'm like, well, I bought this. And my mom immediately was like, oh, my God, this is fantastic. I see the vision. And my dad, he has this vein in his head that throbs every time he gets a little angry. And I started seeing pulsating in the vein. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. For him, I'm a little girl. He had shades of me following along in his footsteps and maybe someday taking over his practice. So it was a little devastating for him at first. And, he walked around. He's like, do you know the fortune you're going to have to seek in this? You know nothing about hospitality. I cannot believe you did this. Very negative, very negative. And I'm like, well, yes, of course, yes, I know it's going to take some, you know, blood, sweat, and tears and, you know, a lot of vision, but I see it, Dad, I see it. And, he's like, okay, whatever. And so my husband and I, you know, we didn't have a lot of money, and we certainly did not have the money for an architect. And I remember coming down, we work, and then we'd come down at night and clean debris out of the house, and our children would be here, you know, in pack and plays, and we would have a little notebook making sketches of how we wanted the room to be. And it took a good 2 years to bring it to light. And about the weekend before our grand opening, we had a open house because, you know, the whole community had watched up for a while now, you know, working on this property, working on this project. So we wanted an opportunity to thank everybody for putting up with us for a couple of years with the banging and the trucks going in and out, and also give them an opportunity to check it out. And after it was all said and done, quite a few people showed up that night. And it was really positive, wonderful energy and feedback we got people, which was very meaningful. But at the same time, you know, I'm an only child, and to have my dad's recognition was really important to me, and which is something I had not gotten up until that point. And I'll never forget it. He pulled me aside, and we sit on the couches by the fireplace in the lobby. And he says to me, he's a very stoic man, but and he's the type of man who does not say things unless he truly means them. And he says to me, and he looks at me, and he gives me a big hug and a big kiss, and says, "You know, kid, I'm proud of you." And he loves it. Mm-hmm. Since then, he's embraced it. He speaks beautiful French. So anytime I have a Canadian guest, he makes a beeline to them and exercises his opportunity to speak French. And it's actually really fun. But there was a little bit tired back in the day that was a little rough go of it. But we're figuring it out as we go.
That's beautiful. That's, you know,
that's wonderful.
Jenna, what touched you about that story?
There's something so beautiful, you know, the symmetry of what Olivia is offering at the end and what you experienced, Olivia, to create it, you know, to have that experience of being touched by inspiration, you know, just knowing it was what you needed to do, what you wanted to do, and then staying tenacious, even in the face of your father's resistance, even with, you know, the limited resource, that you stayed there and you kept letting yourself be inspired by what you saw. And, you know, and I see there's like this beautiful symmetry, because to me, some of the best of travel and the vacation mentality is we get to carve this little space for.
Yeah, we're going to go for a brief pause, and we'll continue here on Vibrant Living. Your life's precious. Enjoy it. I love your story. I want to, and really, in some ways, that's a vibrant travel story. It is. Stay with us for Vibrant Living.
Okay.
The Real Conscious Connection, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hello, hello. You're listening to Vibrant Living, Vibrant Living Network. We're expanding our network nationally, and we're going to open up new markets, having more Vibrant Living hosts and people who want to be Vibrant Living speakers. We're talking with Janet Farnsworth, who it's hard to describe in words my deepest connection with you, Janet. It's I was just pondering that. It's a tough thing to bring to words, even as a lateral thinker. I learned recently I'm kind of a lateral thinker, but then I also have this notion of corresponding relational intuition. So I feel like there's another level. What, you like that one? You know, relational intuition?
Yeah. No, corresponding relational intuition. That requires thinking actually to get my mind.
Oh, I love you can get your mind around that one.
I'm working on it.
Oh, thank you. No, you said it so beautifully.
Yeah.
I got a story based on when Olivia inspired me. I wasn't going to tell this story, but in the spirit of vibrant travel and in the spirit of being paid for who you are, I thought I would tell the story because it covers some interesting ground. So in the middle of my relational tsunami, going back 8 years ago, I never really knew about the world of divorce lawyers. When I was about 12 or 13, I just had this notion. When I was 12 or 13, I couldn't understand divorce. It didn't make any sense to me. I don't know if I at a linear level. I just couldn't get it. You know, I couldn't get how you could have this love connection and then explode it. It didn't make sense. So I had this relational tsunami, and I got really curious about it. I got really curious about this whole thing, and I also wanted to do something different around it because so I had a series of visions. I had a series of visions about working with people around relationalness and really deepening their bonds. And so I needed to actually get a lawyer. So I went to see this lawyer. You guys are going to love this. So I go to see this lawyer, and I share with her my vision. Now, what's kind of interesting about her is she takes off the whole summer. So I saw her right before the summer vacation, and she just looked – she was so relaxed. She was tan. We met, and I could tell, like, her – if she had any lateral thinking in her, it was very in the forefront. Because I share with her a vision about teaching together in a way that would allow people to see another option of actually deepening a relationship and discovering their love bond beyond division and divorce. And there was a moment I felt at her office, it just touched her. So she says to me, she says, yeah, I want to do something with you, and I will give you my near pro bono cost of $275 an hour. Seemed like a high price for pro bono. So that night I had been talking to a man in Boston, pretty remarkable guy, who was a mediating lawyer, pretty well known, this guy John Fisk. So I had a dream that night. I had a vision that I could call John and he would endorse me because that was her mentor and that we could work together. Like he would call her up and say, like, Glenn is totally legitimate. What he's doing is moving. And he did. And she took my case. Now she takes off the whole summer. And I could see, and this gets to vacation and vibrant travel, because there's something that happens when people drop out of time. There's something that happens when they catch a new rhythm. And it's so enticing, and meeting people there and being with them, there's an intimacy and there's a wonder of that. So the first time I saw her, actually, because I wrote up this piece, which was just a vision of how she could go beyond conflict, how she could really do something that, you know, was another level of consulting with people, being with them in a way they could see the relational possibility. So she was really into it. Now, the first time I saw her was actually in October. And by October, she looked like a totally different human being. All the rhythm and the sense of breath that she had before she went on vacation. So I thought to myself, wow, there's something that happens. And this is, in some sense, I also developed vibrant speakers because there's something that happens when we come together and the rate of our breathing together and our coherence that given that we have some momentum and some connection, it could tip into a way of life. So when you said, Olivia, that you felt that sense of inspiration. By the way, I loved how you circled it to your father. What a beautiful thing. You know, I think that's just that. By the way, you do a very good description of your father. And so I said to Olivia this morning, I said, well, I'd like you to be a vibrant living travel advisor because I love inns. And I had this vision of me and Janet going to your place to do the grand opening sauna celebration because Janet lives in heat. She's a heat being. You know, she teaches movement, heat, and yoga. You're a heat being.
Well, yes, in Texas and in the heat.
Well, yeah, I think you would love the kingdom. It's very beautiful. It's a very beautiful place.
I know it's gorgeous.
Have you been there, Janet?
To the kingdom? The Vermont kingdom? I have been to the Vermont kingdom, yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I've been to many kingdoms. The Vermont one, yes.
All right. Wow. That is a very Ariel. I just wanted to see, you know, what your Ariel just got married. By the way, he's 26, and Ariel has this wonderful depth And as a young homeopath, he brings this heart of this to his work. So I just wanted to see what your, and so Ariel, just on Vibrant Living Network. Is it Vibrant Living Network? It's VibrantLivingNetwork.com. Is it our new website domain? Is that it, Ariel?
Yes, VibrantLivingNetwork.com is up and running.
Okay. All right. Thanks to Ariel's. And so I met Ariel. Have any of you read this book called Blink by Malcolm Gladwell?
No.
Blink. Okay. So Blink. Yeah, Blink. He wrote The Tipping Point. But I think it's like. Well, because people ask me, okay. So the whole thing in Blink was, I believe he's half black, half white. And he started to grow his afro out. And he said he got pulled over a lot more. And so one of the things in the book is that I'm a blinker. And there's certain people I blink with. I have an instant intuitive bond with them that is beyond words and explanations. And so he was talking in the book between kind of prejudice and ignorance and how some people blink. So I was doing this series with Claude Pyler, who's a medicine man. And so he told me the story that, because at the beginning of the series, I said, Claude Pyler, what would you want to share with people about sacred medicine, a different kind of medicine? I call it vibrant medicine. And he said, well, he says it's like this. He says, my wife had a mole on her neck, and she's a kindergarten teacher. And this little boy jumped on her, and he cut open the mole. And it turned out, you know, with some growth there. And they had a meeting with the surgeon and with the oncologist. And I guess he was the surgeon who talked first. And he said all these things about the surgery and projected ahead. And Carl Pyle told me, he's like he said, his wife is like passing away. It was really another graven image, you know, another darkened image of what was going to happen in the future. And he said the oncologist came over and physically took the surgeon by the belt buckle and threw him out of the office. And he said, I have a different vision of this. He goes, I see your wife healing. I see new life energy in her. He really casted a different vision. And so when I think about vibrant travel, and since we're going to Burlington, I think about these places that allow us to take another breath, allow us to recharge. And of course, I see it as a place that people could experience this vibrant, this matchmaking connection. Because it seems like, and I'd be curious to get your comment, it just seems like, I think this happened, by the way, I want to say, I don't know what year it was, I'll guess 2001. I was in Cape Cod, and I was on the beach, and these two women passed each other, and they both asked each other how they were, and they both said busy. And I thought, this doesn't sound like a good thought virus, this whole thing about busy. So I looked it up in Chinese medicine, and Chinese medicine said that busy is an illness. So I kept thinking, what is life? What happens when we come beyond busy? And how do we meet people? How do we blink then? And so I got, of course, I've been really interested in providing environments. And then, Janet, I felt like, of course, I also feel the sense that when I come together with you, there's another whole level of expression and trust and wisdom and love. And so the other thing is to kind of like, how this, because no one ever said to me in school, all you really need to do in life is have three people cover your back and have a deep bond. It always seemed very complex, kind of like when Olivia was saying that the textbooks don't communicate the tone, the spirit, the sensation of what it's like to be with another human being. So a lot of times, even in coaching now, there's a lot of outward things and goals. But what is it like to work with someone and be with someone in a way where their sensation and their ability to be in life is a different thing. So I love that you actually brought that up too, Olivia. And yeah, that was very. So I kind of felt like, in this series about inns, I want to have innkeepers, and I just want to give Ariel a moment. Go ahead.
Hi, Ariel. I was just going to say that what you're describing to me about, you know, that.
Yeah.
That mentality of, you know, the vibrancy of being present, that we seem to have to make time to go on vacation to find, is, you know, it's sort of like, it seems to me that it's like practice for the rest of life to be able to experience what it is to pause long enough to be able to feel into the experience of the moment, you know, to be able to feel all of the textures and all of the truth of what we're feeling, you know, so that, you know, when we're on vacation, we can nap. If we're tired, if we're hungry, we eat, you know, that glorious experience. You know, I remember the first time having a real vacation as an adult and realizing that my only big decisions of the day was where was I going to eat, you know, and that ability to slow down enough to actually, you know, I've never really thought about it till right now, to be in the richness of the now. And it's an exquisite thought, you know, to think that, you know, we're kind of taking a vacation to practice coming back from vacation. It makes me want to go on one right now.
Right? Personal time.
Yeah, I want to go now. Let's go.
Well, I got really interested in sweating. It's going to sound funny, right? So anytime I was saying to Olivia off the air that I quickly realized that Americans, for the most part, think the sauna is a place that you draw your bathing suit. So what they do is put their bathing suit in there and they leave. But I found people, because I would go to take saunas, I found a few people like me that I could tell that taking a sauna was a way to kind of drop out and really tune into your body. And there was something about it that made me so respectful of the people in Finland and the countries that really revere this. And so that's how I learned about Olivia's, she has the most unique sauna system. And I thought to myself, you know, Jana and Ariel, I thought, wow, I'd like to go up there and spend 5 days and be in hot tubs and cold tubs. And like, there's something pretty extraordinary about that. So I was like, I don't think I've ever seen a place like yours, Olivia, in that way.
Well, thank you. Yes, it was. We've been working on this since 2015. It's a very interesting process. See, all the units itself come from Finland. We wanted this very, very authentic as possible. And so they had to go over to Finland, find a company, you know, deal with the company, come to the meeting of the minds. And then they were trucked to Amsterdam, where then they were put on an ocean freight, ran across the Atlantic Ocean. And then this and whole new concept that was very foreign to me at the time was that you can't just bring things across on freight across the ocean. You have to clear customs. So we had to get a customs broker, which basically we had to prove that it was not, weapons or illegal paraphernalia, things along those lines, which is very interesting. And then get a Boston trucking company to bring up to the Burke area and assemble them. And then, fortunately, whatever you want to look at it, our property is landlocked. So we have a beautiful mountain stream that goes right through it. It's about 60 feet wide. So we had to put up a bridge you can't just like wake up one morning in Vermont and be like, I think I'm going to put up a bridge today. It's a lot of permitting, a lot of seeking approval from various, you know, government agencies and so forth. So this has been more of a marathon than a sprint, which we're at the final end game. And it's pretty exciting. It's the landscaping game. So it's the making it pretty, because the goal is, I think, what actually triggered this idea for me is my husband and I went out to dinner about a year ago, and we're sitting there in this fairly nice restaurant. There was a young couple sitting next to us, and I couldn't help observing the mannerisms of the couple. And they're sitting there at this table, and they both have their cell phones out, and they were just texting instead of talking to each other, instead of engaging in each other's conversation. They were just focusing on their phone. And I turned to Brad, and I'm like, what do you think they're doing? And he sort of jokes, well, they're probably texting each other. And it sort of dawned on me in that moment. I think us as a society, and I know I've certainly been guilty of it at moments, are just sort of tapped into this whole technological world, you know, in the days of Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you know, social media. I think it's very easy for us to become engaged with others that we see on the screen as opposed to each other, who are those interpersonal human connections. So I wanted to create a place which also has a medicinal benefit. You know, the Nordic hydrotherapy treatment certainly is great for the body and the spirit and the mind, but also a really beautiful environment which people put away the cell phones, where they say, I want to be with my lover or my best friend or my family member. I want to engage with them. So hopefully we can pull this off and have this really gorgeous backdrop that triggers a conversation in an environment where people just don't want to leave. That's our end goal. We'll see if we succeed in that, but that's certainly the plan.
As a matter of fact, I'm so happy you're going, Janet. I already talked to Olivia about doing a 5-day. I'd love to see you there.
Sounds good. Sounds perfect.
You know, I want to say not the first time. By the way, there's a new book out called The Village Effect, and it's the latest scientific research on the brain and texting and emails. And yeah, so that world is missing so much. I was at Canyon Ranch where there's a policy of no cell phones over there. But they would tell me the people from New York, they would see the signs and ignore them hostily. So, but I've talked to people and I've been really curious about, technology detoxes. So it's something that it's almost like another level of coherence and a connection you have when you practice signaling someone, which is very, we don't think about it this way. We don't realize that there's a non-local mind. There's something beyond our brain. Ariel, I need to get you in here. I want you to say something because, what's moving you right now? What did you want to say that you haven't yet? Because you didn't speak.
Well, first of all, I completely agree and resonate with what everybody's been saying, especially in regards to vibrant travel and how we can extract vibrancy from our travels into our everyday life. You know, as somebody who, as a practitioner, as just a person in general who's, constantly using technology for everyday uses, and with the people that I work with as well in my practice, I notice that it's very easy for us to get dragged into the kind of the materialistic day-to-day grind and activities and goals that we set for ourselves and that we try to reach. But we forget in this process what's really important in life and, in a sense, who we are and where we want to go and what kind of potential that we want to reach and to try to permeate into our being. And it's very normal. It's something that affects all of us, but it's something that it's a very serious issue as well. Like what was just stated before, everywhere I go, I always see people, on their phones, on TVs, devices, gadgets, and unfortunately, those are used to, avoid.
Ariel, hold on. Yeah, just hold that. Let that beautiful awareness keep moving. We're going to continue. I want to say forthcoming, we have the Vibrant Living Network, and I'm inspired to share more with you guys. I appreciate you. Stay with us for more Vibrant Living. And one moment, we'll hear more of Ariel's inspired thinking.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. Welcome to Vibrant Living, our Vibrant Living Network, which is expanding with more hosts and our Vibrant Living speakers, Ariel Bonberg's with us. He's a regular co-host. Janet, you're here. I'm so happy you're here.
I am too.
Yeah. And my brain got scrambled for a second, Ariel. Sorry. I went to a brain scramble. kind of when you were talking that
Yeah,
go ahead, Arya.
Yeah, so
and I want to also acknowledge Olivia is our new inside advisor on our Inn series on the replenishing, rejuvenating impact of inns and country hotels. So thank you, Olivia. Arya, go ahead.
Okay.
You're welcome.
So I guess to make it short and sweet, what I was trying to say before is that the goal of vibrant travel, and for that matter, the goal of the vibrant living in general, is to take everything that we have in our life, and instead of being slaves to it, to overcome it and use it as devices and as a means to reach the goals that we want to reach in our lives in terms of resonance and and finding the vibrancy in things and using those tools in order to live more fulfilling and more fulfilling lives. And I think that this is precisely what the goal of travel is. Maybe people see travel as a way, as an escape, or as to numb out any pains or challenges or obstacles that are going to. But the way I and Glenn and many others and many of us, we view, travel as an opportunity to grow and to extract the vibrancy and the importance and the beauty of the places around us and the people that we see and the experiences that we go through, and to bring it into our lives in order to positively benefit us on a more long-term basis. In terms of rejuvenation, in terms of kind of resetting the rhythm of our lives into thinking, who are we and why are we here and where do we want to go? And, what's my purpose and how do I want to make a difference in the world? And of course, to many of us listening may be thinking, that sounds so, extreme, so broad, so, it's a bit like very intense for just a simple trip. But, instead of taking a trip and I guess kind of just treating it as a simple trip, I think if we turn to something more meaningful, more powerful, I think it really make a profound impact and positive difference in our lives.
Yeah. I love, Janet, what you were saying about, taking moments. I used to do a series called Vibrant Moments, and I would just talk about moments, pay attention to how our hands are on the steering wheel or the moment we put a little cold water on our face. What comes to your mind about a vibrant moment? What's a vibrant moment is something you find? And I also was going to ask the panel. Yeah, only right now, anytime. Yeah, it could be right now.
No,
sure.
I'm saying right now is a vibrant moment.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm I'm staying awake. I'm being inspired. I'm meeting my own edges. I'm discovering my own, the fears of saying the right or the wrong thing, the curiosity about how I'm making an impact or not. And then discovering that if I just like stay present with it and I listen and then I take in what you all are saying and I get out of my, frickin' head, I have this expansion in the moment and I'm feeling excited. I'm already sort of astral traveling to the inn. I'm hearing Ariel talk about, those moments and I'm having it right now. It's a vital moment right now. I mean, maybe I don't have to actually even go somewhere, right, to then feel that sense of vibrancy, so that's my vibrant moment right now.
No, I love it. I love it. Yeah. I want to acknowledge that we're on the way to Burlington tomorrow night, and the Chamber of Commerce just called me from Burlington, and we're going to do a little feature next week on Burlington and all the wonders of Burlington, the Blake's Lampoon, the restaurants, and I have this vision to do a Vibrant Living Summit, which was speakers come and they talk on different topics. But I guess the deep thing is what you're saying, Jen, is that people could drop in and have this experience. And maybe that's the key thing with Vibrant Travel, is to learn how to discover and drop in. I love what you said. I thought about you could give sessions called get out of your frigging head sessions. I think that would be very valuable.
Honey, I live that session every day. I'm working on that one 24/7.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I relate.
Everything, I'm already doing it. That's one time I don't have to make the effort, but,
Olivia told me the story. She told me the story, and I thought it was such a great story about, symptoms, because we did a series on the gift of symptoms, why symptoms are a blessing in disguise. So, Olivia, you told me that story, Olivia, about your newfie, and I thought it was like a symptom, how most people deal with symptoms.
Yes, about the story about my dog.
Yeah, the dog that was bothering you.
Yes, okay. Okay, so what happened? I have three young children, and my middle child, Wyatt, has a heart condition. It's a pretty serious heart condition where he's prone to heart-related seizures. So as opposed to like an epileptic seizure, which would be a neurological thing, this is all cardio in the heart. And about a year or so ago, I was in the kitchen. So my eldest son was dad. My daughter was taking a nap. I was in the kitchen cooking something for Wyatt. And I remember very distinctly, it was a vibrant moment for me, but this wasn't a...
Was I love it. I love it.
This was a moment that I'll never forget. I'll never forget how I felt. I'll never forget the smell of the macaroni and cheese. I'll never forget what the weather was like outside. And not the stove, and the stove was boiling, and I had my macaroni and cheese in, and my dog, Kingston, came in. I have two newfies, a female named Willow and a male named Kingston. And he's a big boy. He has quite a head on him, and I'm a short person. So he kept
you said if he, you said if he stood up, he's about 7 feet tall. He's huge.
He's huge. Yeah.
Okay.
220 pounds at least. He's a big boy. And he's a little neurotic with a dog. So initially, I didn't think anything of it because I'm there stirring my wooden spoon, stirring the pot, and he comes up and he starts bumping my elbow like he wants my attention. And I just made the assumption he's hungry, he wants to eat, but he's gonna wait his turn. I'm working on the kids' food now, and he wouldn't leave me alone. He just kept on being annoying, and I'm pushing him away like, just kick me, go find a home, go lie down. And it came to the point where it was time, your noodles are done, and it was time to drain the pasta water. And I was had the pot in my hand. I'm moving over towards the sink, and he gave me quite a nudge, like where the pasta water just went boop, right out of the pot onto the floor. And I was totally irritated, like, come on, like half the pasta is now on the floor. And he went stuck. And then I realized he's trying to send me a message, a symptom, if you will. He was trying to get my attention. He was trying to get my focus to the toy room. And I realized this is more than just a dog who was hungry and likes the smell of Kraft macaroni and cheese. He was legitimately trying to pull me off the kitchen duty. So I followed him in the toy room, and there's my son, my little guy, face down on the floor. For all intents and purposes, I thought he was dead at first. And I rolled him over, immediately started on CPR. And I honestly couldn't tell you how long this was going on for. Time just molded, it morphed into each other. I could have been pushing on him for 2 minutes. It could have been 2 hours. I have no concept. But when he took his first breath, I mean, it was the most beautiful, beautiful sight, but beautiful reaction I ever had. And he's okay. You know, we got some great doctors around here, great paramedics. But what the doctor physician at the emergency room basically told me was, like, if you were any longer, so in other words, if I had finished making that Kraft macaroni and cheese, you know, drain the water, let the butter melt it, put the cheese in, put the milk in, stirred it up, put it into the plate, that would have been too long. Wyatt would have either been brain dead or he would have died, passed away. And I credit it to Doug, his persistence, his ability not to back down, even when I'm scolding him. Like, I didn't know at first. I just was irritated. I was focused on making dinner. And so the moral of the story is A, newfoundlands are incredible dogs. They're very smart, very wonderful. But two, it's, things happen in life so quickly. And I'm really, somebody was looking down on me that day. Somebody, my dog, was really a hero that day. I'm very thankful on multiple levels.
We scheduled Kingston to be on next week, by the way.
He's a good boy. He's a little neurotic.
Yeah.
He has this big pink bunny that one of my kids got for Easter. Mm-hmm. That's like his toy. Like, he will. That's his bunny, and he's, you have this big 220-pound goofy dog walking around with a pink bunny all the time. It's just kind of silly, but I love him. He's a good boy.
Yeah. No. I love that because I think that Jen and Ariel reminded me just when we have things that symptoms, things that annoy us, wanting to push them away. I was talking to you, Jen, and I realized that it's a vibrant moment. We kind of could allow what's there to be there. you know, in terms of symptoms, pain, you know. So,
and we try to see it from the big picture as well, not just the symptom.
Right, right, right. To kind of, you know, because I realize that, yeah, we have questions from the outside. So from the outside, it looks something that could be annoying, could be kind of this gift. So we got this, we got our trip to Burlington. I met so many, by the way, I met really amazing chefs. Had a lot of chefs on, a lot of innkeepers on. And what's your vision for Burlington, Janet? You have a vision that you want to, you have a vision for what you want to experience in Burlington?
I mean, what I'm hoping for, what I look forward to.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm coming to the kingdom. I'm coming to the kingdom of Vermont. And the kingdom of Florida.
Olivia, you got to come have lunch with us or something, I realize.
I would love to.
It's wonderful seeing you.
Known for its farm to table movement, great restaurants, great little bistros, really, you know, wholesome food that people literally pick up, you know, the restaurant proprietors pick up at the farms earlier that day. Another really cool feature about Burlington is the Church Street. So it's its main street, which was modeled, I don't want to give misinformation, but it's supposed to be just like Boulder, Colorado, their main street. So it's the same architect, and it's really a beautiful street. It's definitely worth it. And around the holidays, it's very, very classic, classic New England. The waterfront is gorgeous. Definitely, if you have an opportunity, just take a stroll down the waterfront. Look out at Lake Champlain and just bask in the sunlight. And, of course, there's a lot of colleges. I like the vibrancy of an academic town. There's quite a bit of colleges there. So, you know, it has that young, youthful student life. It's very refreshing, in my opinion. It's a fun place. It's very pretty. It's clean. It's just very artsy, too. It kind of there's a lot nice art scene to it if people are into the arts and crafts and so forth.
What's your website, Olivia? Thank you. I want to say to people, I invited Olivia to speak at our conference in Rhode Island, and I'm inspired to put a conference together in Burlington, and I so appreciate you and your stories. And what's your website? Because there's a picture on the website. There's a picture on the sauna. The saunas on your website. I want people to see that.
So all you have to do is very short and easy. Google www.willowburk.com, and that's spelled W-I-L-L-O-W-E.com. And you can see on the website, you'll have an option to view the Nordic spa. Keep in mind, it's still a work in progress. We're really close, but not 100% yet. But we're coming. We're inching our way every day.
That's beautiful. I'm eager to meet you.
I can't wait to meet you. I can't wait to be in that sauna. I'm going to take some of this vibrant living conversation with me as I go into my vibrant day that doesn't look like vacation, but I'm going to try to make it feel like vacation as I practice my vocation. So thank you all.
Much love. Thank you, Janet.
Thank you.
Love you, Janet. Thank you. I'll talk to you later. Thank you, Janet, very much. Ariel, why don't you lead us out today? Why don't you leave us with something? And then, Olivia, I'll be back in touch. Welcome to the Vibrant Living family. Ariel, leave us today with something, would you please?
I guess, like I said before, I really just appreciate everyone coming on today, Olivia and Janet. Really had an awesome, very vibrant, very engaging time today, speaking about vibrant travel, and many other similar topics. And, you know, my hope is that, you know, we can all, you know, try to find more of the vibrancy and meaning in our lives and kind of take that to become better people and to live more fulfilling and beautiful lives. And looking forward for everyone in Burlington as well.
Yeah, I'm so eager to see all you guys. I've been talking to a lot of people in Burlington area, innkeepers and people like Todd and Stowe has got a beautiful end. So I want to say hello to you guys. I look forward to seeing you and to bringing our Vibrant Living Summit to Burlington. And those that you moved about the idea of a vibrant matchmaker or vibrant travel, you can always call me as well at 413-345-3747. 413-345-3747. Hey, thanks so heartily, Ariel. Our website is vibrantlivingnetwork.com. And Ariel's on the team, and he's a precious... And I want to thank my beloved Kai. Kai Cole is our national executive producer, and she's been doing some wonderful work. She wasn't with us today, but in spirit and heart she is. Your life's precious and joy, and thanks very much for listening to the Vibrant Living Network here on Om Times Radio and all the wonderful stuff they do. Thanks, Chris, and all the people at Om Times.